We usually say down South Carolina way, and all God's children said, amen. It is good to be back in the Lord's house today, and good to see some faces that were here last Sunday morning, and I appreciate you coming back. A lot of times you think, well, will they ever come back to hear you again? But you are here, and I'm grateful for that. Go ahead and find in your Bibles Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. And again, let me say what a joy it is to be here today. I thoroughly enjoyed myself last Sunday morning, and I hope you did. Coming to God's house should always be a great time for us. I felt at home here in the pulpit, which means a lot for every pastor and every evangelist or preacher that gets into a pulpit at preaching time. You want to at least feel at home, and I did, and I appreciate the liberty that God gave last Sunday morning here in preaching the word, and just a great reception of you listening to the word and then responding to the word of God. And I still get a little bit tense sometimes when I get before a congregation. The nervousness I no longer encounter. Now, the first time I ever preached many years ago, I was just shaking. I was like a cat on a tin roof, really. You didn't know which way you might go. I even told somebody my knees were knocking so and my hands were shaking so I could have threaded a sewing machine and it running. That's how nervous, how shaking I was. But God came through, and as always, it's not about me. It's not about the man. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you always keep that in mind as you live your life as well. Well, let's get started. Buckle up. Here we go again. And again, look forward to being with you these Sunday mornings in January. Romans chapter 8, verse number 32. One verse of scripture to get us going this morning. The Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him, meaning Jesus, up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I want to bring a message this morning entitled, The Total Package. The Total Package. And in reading this verse of scripture, and as we get into this, I hope you'll understand that what God has for us, a lot of times is far more exceeding than what we give him credit for, or what we even realize in our minds. It was in the late 1800s, a young man about 17, 18 years of age, since God's call on his life to become a missionary and an evangelist in Nova Scotia. He and his two parents scraped for weeks and months to get enough money to buy a ticket to sail across the Atlantic Ocean to a country called Nova Scotia. And after they had got enough money, they purchased him a ticket. They didn't have any money extra to send with him. So his mother baked him some bread, put it in a bag, and told him that he would be able to eat off of that bread as they traveled across the Atlantic Ocean. Well, as he boarded the ship and bid them farewell, he noticed as he would walk around on the ship every day, he would go by the dining hall, peer through the windows, and he would see the crowd in there enjoying an extravagant meal. He would stand there with hunger pains and wondering what it would be like to sit down and enjoy a meal like that. He would then retire back to his cabin, pull out that bag, and eat stale bread day after day after day. That was what took place. Some of the sailors on the boat noticed what he was doing and heard about him not going into the dining hall, and they offered to make him a deal. Said, Peter, if you'll do our chores, we'll make sure you get at least one meal a day, but you got to eat it out behind the kitchen area. He agreed to that and was happy to do that. And it was not until the day before they entered into the harbor at Nova Scotia that he discovered a fact. And this was it. When he purchased his ticket to start sailing across the ocean, it included three meals a day. You see, he missed out on the total package. He missed out on what the blessings would have been to sit in the dining hall and enjoy the good food. But yet he ended up eating stale bread all the way across the ocean. I believe that is an illustration of the way some Christian folks are today in their walk with the Lord. Now, they know the goodness of God in a lot of ways. In fact, you can get up every morning and you can see the sunrise and you can look in the stars at night and you'll see some of the most beautiful sights in this world that God, He Himself created, that He spoke into existence. You can see God at work in a lot of ways in your own life. You can see blessings that come when you get a paycheck every week or every month or when you get paid. That's a blessing from God. When you're able to sit down and enjoy a meal at Thanksgiving or Christmas, that's a blessing from God. When you recover from the flu or sickness and things like that, that's a blessing from God. But yet I still believe that there are things deeper in our walk with God that we need to stop and realize and understand so that we can rejoice every day because of God's goodness. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in all of our problems and conflicts of life, we begin to mumble and complain and murmur like the Israelites did when Moses was leading them across the wilderness. They were ready to go back into Egypt and eat the wild onions and the garlic. Why? It's because things were getting a little hard along the way. God was blessing them, but yet they weren't understanding truly the blessings that God had brought their way. Now, where are you today in your walk with God? I know that you're here this morning in God's house, and I'm thankful for that, and I trust you are as well. Our hearts can be lifted up and encouraged through song, through worship, and even, as Ronnie said, through the giving of tithe and offering. You know, I rejoice that he said that because the Bible teaches that we are to be joyful givers unto the Lord. I said many years ago in one of the churches I was pastoring, I long for the day, as you search that scripture in the Bible where it talks about that we are to be a joyful giver, that really means hilarious. It means like we're breaking out into a laughter. I don't know of anybody that breaks out into a great laughter when they put their tithe into the offering plate. I long to see that day. But nonetheless, it is from the heart that we are to give, and it is a form of worship, and we enjoy doing things of that nature. But truly, we need to understand just how blessed we are today to be called a child of the living God. And indeed we are. Now you can say amen along while I'm preaching. In fact, I encourage you to do that. It's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog to a preacher when you say amen. And I promise I'll get you out on time. In fact, I've warned and threatened people, if you don't say amen, I'll keep you another hour. So therefore the amens increase. But nonetheless, let's get into this passage and understand truly the package that God has given unto us as believers in Christ. Now, last Sunday morning, we talked about discouragement and how that it attacks so many of us in our life. And yet we have the promises of God that get us through those valleys and those difficult trials that sometimes we create ourselves or maybe designed by God, that we'll keep our eyes focused on Him. So today, I want us to know a little confidence and assurance. When you walk out these doors, I want you to walk out rejoicing in your heart because you truly understand a little bit more of what you are and who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it mean in this total package that God gives us? Well, there are a lot of things we could discuss. I had about four or five listed. But for sake of time, I'm just going to mention two, because I think these two are so vital to understand truly the blessings of being in the body of Christ. Number one is the forgiveness of sin. You and I today stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That means that Christ's blood covers our sin. Now, there are those who say, well, I don't like the idea of a blood religion. Well, listen, friend, you take out the blood, you lose the forgiveness of sin and the redemption of mankind. It is through the shed blood of Christ that you and I have forgiveness and our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, when you think about forgiveness of sin, we know that when we come to Christ, it is an issue that we realize we're sinners. And we come and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin and I trust you as my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. I remember that very night, and I mentioned this, I think, last Sunday morning to you, when God convicted me in my heart. We were in revival services back in 1961. And I was just a young man, and we, in those days, we didn't have air conditioning in our house, and we were sitting on the front porch. My dad and I were getting ready, you know, to go to church, and my mom and my two sisters. You know, it always takes women a little bit longer to get ready, and that's not a bad thing, because usually you come out looking pretty good. Most of us men, we look good to start with. Amen? But nonetheless, we were out there. And this was on the Thursday night. And in those days, revival ran all the way through the week. We now drop back from Saturday night to Friday night to Thursday night. Now we usually have revivals on Sunday through Wednesday. In fact, I'll be starting one next Sunday night in a revival service going through Wednesday night. And when you think about that, we were on the front porch and, you know, I was just a young boy and not really paying a lot of attention to a lot of things. But my dad said something to me that evening before we went to church that really struck my heart. And this is what he said. He said, "Son, don't you think it's time you got right with God and gave your life to Christ?" I mean, that came from my daddy. We were best of friends, and, you know, wherever he went, that's where I wanted to go. Whatever he did, that's what I wanted to do. But now he is saying to me, I need to get right in my heart because he wants me to go to heaven. And that brought conviction to my heart. Went to church that night. I don't know what the preacher preached about. Could not tell you the first word he said. I sat there under conviction, couldn't wait till they give the invitation. And when they gave that invitation, as a young man, I came down. I told my pastor that night I wanted to be saved. I knelt in the altar and gave my life to Christ, and he saved me. I had forgiveness of sin. And friend, every one of us that know Jesus Christ today and the forgiveness of sin, we come the same way. It's through the grace that God extends to us through his shed blood that we have total forgiveness of our sin. But here's an issue, and I'll use this story to illustrate it. In one of my churches I pastored many years ago in Jacksonville, Florida, I was there and preaching week after week, and on Sunday mornings, a young man, I guess maybe I call him young nowadays, he was probably in middle 20s, at the invitation, he would come down every Sunday, and in the altar, he would weep, and he would cry, and I would look over and glance, and his name was Bill Johnson, and I began to wonder about Bill. Was he right with the Lord, or maybe he was under conviction? Maybe he truly had never made things right with God, even though he had joined the church. And I began to wonder about Bill, and about the third Sunday, Lord laid on my heart, and I went over to him during the invitation, knelt down beside him. I said, "Bill, is there something that I can assist you with? Something that maybe I can give you a direction in? Is there a burden in your heart that maybe I can hear and lift you up with?" And he looks at me and he says, "Preacher, here's my problem." He said, "I can't get past my past. I can't get past my past." I believe there are a lot of folks sitting in church this Sunday morning across this nation that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they still are haunted by things of their past. The sin that God has forgiven is still being hashed in their minds. It's being brought up before them. And friend, it will paralyze you in your walk with Christ unless you get rid of the shame and the guilt that comes from our past sin. The psalmist David said in Psalm 32, verse 1, "Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Now, with that thought in mind, listen to me. There are things that you and I have in our past that we may have regrets about. There are things that I did as a young teenager in high school, words that I said that were of profanity I wish I'd never said. There were thoughts I wish I never had, things I did I wish I'd never done. But when I ask Christ to forgive me of those sins, friend, he forgives. And that's all it takes, is forgiveness of sin. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, God says this, "I will remember your sins and iniquities no more." Meaning God's not going to bring those things up to you in your life. Why? It's because he has forgiven us of our sin. The Bible says in this same book, Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, them that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh." Listen to me. When we come and ask forgiveness of our sin, God forgives us. We will never answer to God again for that sin because he'll never bring it up. not in this life, not when we stand before him, when we get to heaven. It's done away with because the blood has cleansed it and it's washed away. So why do we still have problems with guilt? Well, we remember those things. Sometimes the devil will make sure we remember those things. He may send somebody across our path, or maybe something that will happen in our life, try to bring that thing up to us, because if he can get us to walk around dropping our heads in shame, then that will render us useless in the kingdom of God. We won't want to sing. We won't want to come to church. We won't want to read our Bible. We won't pray. Why? It's because we're filled with so much guilt. We don't think God can use us, and we won't turn to God like we ought to. Forgiveness of sin. Listen, we're blessed because God has forgiven us. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 12, he said, I'll cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. The great prophet Micah, the Old Testament, in the last book that he wrote there, or the last chapter that he wrote, verse number 19 of chapter 7, he said, God said, I'll cast your sins into the depths of the sea. Be remembered against you no more. They will never appear again. Sometimes the devil will make it come before us, and sometimes we ourselves will, because we allow ourselves to go back and relive things of our past, great mistakes, great sins that we committed that will one day keep us from doing and walking with God like we ought to. You see, the total package includes forgiveness of sin. We are forgiven. And yet we as believers in Christ, we think, well, wait a minute. I know that when I asked Christ to save me and come into my life, I know that he forgave me of my sin, but I've done some things after that. What do I do about that, preacher? Well, God gives us a great answer in his scripture. He always has an answer for us, friend. And this is it in 1 John, that book that is written by the great apostle. He has written to believers in that first chapter. In verse number 9, he says this, to believers, to those who've trusted in Christ, he said that if we confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need sometimes just to do a daily cleansing of that stuff that's in our hearts, in our lives, of thoughts that we've had, glances that we've taken, things that we've done, things that we have not done, we should have done. God will forgive us if we truly come to him. And because we need that forgiveness in our lives like never before, because it's crippling a lot of people. In fact, I believe that's why a lot of folks don't show up church anymore. It's because they no longer can understand truly how blessed they are to have the forgiveness of God and be in right standing with him. I'm glad today that I serve a perfect Savior, because I'm not a perfect man. In fact, there's nobody perfect on the face of this earth. Now, I've known some folks who thought they were. And you probably have as well. And you as a fellow, you may think, well, I'm married to one. Well, you wake up. You need to understand, none of us are perfect. But we got a perfect Savior who loves us, who looks after us, who forgives us and cleanses us and makes us in him to walk in victory and the power that so he intended in our lives. You know, I love it when I pray, God answers my prayer. Somebody asked me years ago, was God answer every prayer you pray? Yes, he does. And I've had people say, wait a minute now, he didn't answer every prayer you pray. I said, yes, he does. I said, let me explain. When I pray, God either says, yes, I'll do it. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. Or he's saying, hold on, I'm going to do it later. Now, that's answering every prayer according to his will. Now, I don't get everything I pray for, but I get in accordance with God's will for my life. And sometimes it's a flat no, God tells me. But yet it's wonderful to know that I can pray, and you as a church can pray and know that God's going to bless you in your prayer life, your prayer time, and especially in this transition time in which you are now, church. You need to be praying more than ever before that God will open the door in the hearts of whomever he has to fill this pulpit, to open your heart to be receptive unto his will for your life as a church, as your family, and as an individual. I want to tell you, you need to be walking with God. But if you've got unforgiven sin in your heart, and you ain't got past that idea of knowing that God will forgive you, then you're not going to pray. You're not going to read your Bible. And you're not going to be interested in the things of God like you ought to be. You see, God wants to make you what you need to be in Jesus Christ, not compared to somebody else. I mean, we do that. We compare ourselves to maybe somebody else in the church, or maybe a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, or somebody else, or, you know, a senior saint or somebody. Oh, I wish I could be like them. Listen, you can be in Christ. Just be what God's called you to be. But it's got to start with understanding the total package. You've got a cleansing in your heart, and you can be filled with the Spirit of God and walk in that power. Forgiveness of sin, we need to understand, so vital. Number two is fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. The Bible says in that same book written by John, in 1 John, verse number 3, he says that we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we have fellowship with one another as well. John mentions that. And that's wonderful and that's sweet. I mean, I enjoy being around God's people more than anybody in this world. Now, I enjoy sports. I enjoy a lot of things, you know, entertain things in this world. I used to do hunting years ago. I used to do a lot of fishing years ago as well. I haven't done any of that in a long time. But I just love being around God's people. In fact, people that don't belong to God and not in the family of God that have a foul mouth, it bothers me. I don't want to be around a drunk. I don't want to be around somebody that's always complaining, somebody that's always a nuisance. I want to be around God's people because they are my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why I believe church is a wonderful place. You know, to come on Sundays, because one, God commands us to be there. Amen? I said amen? All right, that sounded a little bit better. In fact, it says in the book of Hebrews, we are not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves as the manner of some is, seeing the day approaching. What is that day approaching? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, I've often wondered and often thought that the Lord, when he comes back, and we don't know when he's coming, we just know he's coming, that when he comes back and raptures the church home, I wonder if it's going to be on a Sunday. I wonder if it's going to be, you know, while church is supposed to be taking place, God's people are there who really love him and are concerned about their walk with him. And now, again, I don't know that, but I've often thought he might come back on a Sunday morning. He might come back on a Sunday night. Be a good place to be in church tonight, okay? Couldn't put a plug in there for you, Brother Roddy. But when you think about the fellowship we have with God, there's nothing sweeter than with him. Now, we can have good times with one another, and I enjoy laughter. I enjoy sitting down to a good meal. I just enjoy being around God's people. I've talked about that. But there is nothing sweeter than the fellowship I have with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before my wife passed away 11 years ago, we had some of the sweetest times, and I miss her so much. I mean, we were just so close. We had seemingly the same mindset. We had the same thoughts about a lot of things. I knew how she would think. She knew what I would think. We just had a great, not only relationship, but we had a great fellowship. And you know, that's the way it ought to be with husbands and wives. Ought to be the closest of anybody on this earth together as a husband and a wife. But even beyond that is a closer relationship and intimacy that you have with Jesus Christ, where he is the sweetest, the most precious one in your heart. In fact, I'll say this, since I'm not going to be here very long preaching for you, but, you know, I believe a lot of messages need to be devoted to family life nowadays. But I'll say this. I believe that really the best way to love your wife or to love your husband is to love Jesus Christ first. Then you know how to really love your mate. The love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ is incredible. In fact, it changes our whole perspective about life. We have an appetite for him and not for things of the world. In fact, sin becomes disgusting for us when we have a great fellowship with the Lord. I read recently about a middle school in Oregon. They had a problem in the girls' bathroom. The custodian would go in and clean the bathroom, and those little middle school girls, they would put lipstick on and they'd kissed the mirror in the bathroom. And it had lip prints on the mirror. And the janitor, he'd try to rub those things off. He's having such a difficult time. So he goes and to talks to the principal, and he comes and takes a look, understands the situation. So he makes an announcement over the intercom. Now listen, girls, I understand that, you know, you want to put lipstick on, but we're having a difficult time removing it off the mirrors. So if you would cease from kissing the mirror with your lips. Well, you can guess what happened. It got worse. The custodian walks in after that announcement the next day and lip prints all over the mirror. So they decide to do this. They call all those middle school into that bathroom that they can crowd in. And they said, we need to show you something. See all these lip prints that are on the mirror that you girls have made? We're going to get it off, but let me show you how the janitor gets it off. So he takes a brush, goes over to the toilet, reaches in the toilet, gets it wet, and scrubs the mirror and removes the... They never had another problem with kissing on the mirror. You see, that's the way it ought to be with sin in our life. We should see sin as God sees sin. It cost Jesus Christ his life on the cross of Calvary. He suffered and he died because of our sin. And it should be disgusting for us when we commit those sins. And it should be such sorrow hits our hearts that we realize, Lord, I've sinned against you. Please, I want that fellowship not to be broken. I want it to be sweet. I didn't say a relationship was broken. I didn't say you lose your salvation. I'm just saying the fellowship's not what it will be if you've got sin in your life and things that are there. But why? It's because we now have an appetite to walk with God and to love Him and to serve Him like ever before. It's wonderful. I mean, I love these songs that we sing about our walk with the Lord and how precious that He is. And, you know, just a fellowship. Some of the greatest times I have is riding down the road in my car. I'll sometimes find a gospel station. Now, down around where I'm from, a lot of times I'm coming through the Clemson area, and you got those Clemson students, and you pull up beside them at a light, and they got their music. I don't understand it, how they can ever have, you know, any hearing issues. They got that boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. It shakes not only their car, it shakes my car. And I'm sitting there beside them, and, you know, the car's just shaking because they got that music so loud. And I know that's their choice of music. It's different from me. I'm just an old country boy. Don't get me wrong. I don't apologize for that. But I'm sitting there beside them, and they got this music just boom, 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 boom. And I'm thinking, okay, a little bit of devil in me. So I roll my windows down, and I turn up my gospel music. And I get it just as loud as I can stand it. And they'll look over at me and they'll wonder, you know, what in the world are you listening to? And I'll just say, praise God, praise God, praise God. You see, I enjoy my fellowship with the Lord. And it should be sweet. Now, I don't go around doing that all the time. People think I'm crazy and you think I'm crazy anyway. But listen, there's nothing more precious in my heart than my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, it bothers me if I walk in a restaurant and sit down somewhere and I hear somebody in another booth or across another table and they're using the Lord's name in vain. That bothers me. I hate, that's disgusting to me. I hate that kind of stuff. And you know, and to see people doing things. Again, I'm not saying I'm perfect. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is this. I just love walking with God to where He's just all over me and everything that I want to say and do and my thoughts, where it's I'm filled with that power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, as I've gotten older, one of the things that's happened to me, I've become more emotional. Now, some of you fellas don't look down on me for this, but during the Christmas season, sometimes I'll sit there and watch those Hallmark movies and cry. Okay, I'm not a sissy. I'm a man's man, don't get me wrong. I'm no sissy by any means. But here's the thing. As I've gotten older, I get more emotional. And there's even some of those commercials on TV. We have down one our way, that Publix, the supermarket down our way. They'll show those little commercials and He'll show somebody and they're, you know, welcome them in home, a soldier or something, they're hugging, or maybe see some of those clips where a soldier surprises some of those kids in school and they run and jump in their arms and they hugging daddy. Sometimes I find myself, you know, just, you know, doing this way. Why? It's because I've become more emotional. And I don't apologize for that. And in fact, I believe we need more tears in our world. I think it'd change our society. But I tell you, I just love sometimes just getting along with the Lord and just crying and just loving Him, because there is no one more precious in my life than my Jesus. Where does He stand with you today? Is He precious? Are you truly in fellowship with Him? Do you understand the total package? It's not just being born again and having our name in the Lamb's Book of Life and being a member of a church and, you know, doing a few things here and doing a few things there and throwing in a dollar or two along on the offering plate. I want to tell you, it's being sold out to Christ where He is my all in all. In fact, there's a song we sing. Church I attend is Rock Springs in Easley. They have about 1,500 every Sunday morning in that service and about 200 and something in the choir. And sometimes they'll just come out and they'll just flood the altar while they're singing, people weeping and crying, people praising God and lifting their hands. And it's so sweet. Why? It's because it's not a show. It's not a Hollywood production. It's just people loving Jesus where they are. And I want to tell you, you can love Jesus where you are. Wherever you are in your life right now, you may be in a struggle. You may have some health issues. You may have some financial woes. You may have some neighbor problems. You may have just things in general. You know, there's a lot of things we battle in life. But be sure you have that fellowship with Jesus Christ, not only in the valley, on the mountaintop as well. The total package includes Him, folks, as Savior and Master and Lord of our life. Would you bow your heads in prayer? While James comes for our invitation selection, let me ask you this question. Do you know Him today as your Savior? Do you not just know of Him? A lot in the world know of Him. Especially we've come through this Christmas season, which I believe is one of the greatest witnesses in the entire world throughout the entire year that Christ has come to this world, that He is the Savior. We hear and sing all those Christmas songs. Even on secular stations, they'll play some of those Christmas songs with that great message of Jesus. And they know of Him. But I'm asking you today, do you have Him as your own personal Savior? If not, today He's calling you to come. The Bible says that if we'll call upon Him, He'll save us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you walking in fellowship with Him? Maybe you need to renew that. You know, we talk about revival a lot of times, revival services or revival meetings. But I'm talking about something of a personal nature. Do you truly need revival in your heart with the Lord Jesus Christ? This invitation is for you. If you're here and never made a decision to believe upon the Lord and be saved, be born again, this invitation's for you. This altar's open. Whatever you need you may have, you may want to come and pray. Last week, there were several people in this altar praying. Maybe you need to come today, pray for you, your family, your marriage, your job, whatever it is. I'm going to pray, then we're going to start the invitation. Father, we thank You this morning for the Word of God. We know that it is Your holy, inspired, infallible Word. I pray that this verse that talks about truly being in Christ will come home today in our hearts. If there's someone here who needs to be saved, I pray they'll come. If there's someone who needs to rededicate their life to Christ, I pray they come. If there's issues they want to pray about in this altar, I pray they come. Nothing will be done in the flesh, but all be led by the Spirit of God. And we'll thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. If you need to come, you come on right now. This is your time.